Hello and welcome everybody to a very special ice cream fueled.
Wait, why is it very special? You say very special every show, and this one is no more special than any other show for any other reason.
You can't see the really you can't see the hands since I went for the headache. I say that every episode, Conley.
He literally says very, very special every episode. He lies to you guys because if he says it every episode, it's not very special. I say we petition Tom to cut the very special I was opening unless it actually is very special. We have no guests. It's not a holiday. I didn't win a tournament. It's not very special. The end.
Every moment I spend with you, Conley, is special.
All right, this is a very special show because we have a preview card.
Okay, well, because we already started off the wrong foot before the show, so we were talking about the newly revealed Walmart trucks, which look amazing. They look like a combination of a Transformer and the Batmobile.
Yeah, they're like, it looks like there's a car underneath a truck, except the car is part of the truck, and then the truck doesn't really look like a truck. It kind of looks like a boat or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's basically like you took a semi-truck and it made it somehow. It's like when you have a really big dog that mates with a chihuahua. It's like you took a really big semi and it made it with like a Prius.
That is not a productive description of anything.
But it is more proof that Tom is really a veterinarian and not a human doctor.
Yeah, I know. to describe what a truck looks like by comparing it to a chihuahua mating with a non-chihuahua is the most absurd analogy ever.
But doesn't that truck look like it was like you somehow – it's like in The Fly. You know, on one side you put a semi-truck, the other side you put a Prius.
That is true.
It went horribly awry and this Walmart truck plopped out.
That is true.
Please kill me.
The one cool feature about them, and then we'll stop talking about them since nobody cares, is Adam eats his ice cream very loudly. The one cool feature that is kind of a brand new thing is they are a one-person truck. They literally just seat a driver. There is no passenger seat. I mean, a passenger could sit in like where the bed area is or whatever, but there's no like seats for a passenger. Like it's like you don't sit on the left side of the truck. You sit right in the middle, like a cockpit type of thing. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think these things are just hitting battle mechs. So like when they eventually like in the syndicate with the
Walmart's
going to
Walmart's going to fight us.
Yeah. Also, their trucks will. Also, they got robots all over the fucking country, and they win.
I mean,
because all Google has is self-driving cars. I mean, the Walmart mecha trucks will just stop right over them.
I mean, like I said, South Park already predicted this, and South Park's rarely wrong about things. So
they are on point more often than you would think.
I know,
but I know Adam is literally frothing at the mouth.
No, he just finished his ice cream. We gave him time to finish his ice cream. That was a great little like buffer zone for him.
Mm-hmm. So, do I save the only Lita joke for the end of the show, or do you have more ice cream to eat, Adam?
No, I'm good to go now.
Okay. I'm sad I'm on this podcast. I'm actually ashamed.
Yep. So we all feel.
Adam, because Conley clearly doesn't value the time that we spend together here every week. So Adam, I want you to share this amazing preview card that we have that's making this episode so very, very special.
Right? We're just going straight for it. Jeez, Adam, take the stage.
Which is, I talk about trucks. You're mad about me talking about trucks.
No, it's fine. We're going straight into this. It's a big thing. Like, we didn't give anybody any time to like sit down because they might fall over. Because I'll give you a hint. I'm going to let Adam take it from here. But it is the last, as of yet now, unspoiled God. All right.
Well, for listeners who have come to Gathering Magic, you'll find it right below the podcast play button. So you'll probably see this. But for those of you who don't, it is Farika, God of Affliction. So it's one colorless mana, a black mana, and a green mana. So
three. Mana. That's fascinating.
Three mana, 5/5, green black god. It's indestructible, obviously. Nyx takes devotion to 7, just like the other two color gods. But its ability is you spend a green and a black mana, exile target creature card from a graveyard. Its owner puts a 1/1 black and green snake enchantment creature token with death touch onto the battlefield. So basically, if you've ever played with Necrogenesis or Night Soil, it's that
Night
type
Soil.
Of exile that creature, and then whoever owned that creature card gets the 1/1 black and green death touch snake enchantment creature token.
Would you say outside of Hymn to Turok, do you think that Night Soil is the most played card from Homelands, or excuse me, Fallen Empires?
No, I think High Tide probably is.
High Tide.
I forgot that's in Fallen Empires, isn't it?
I would think these days High Tide is probably outplaying him to track. That's a different discussion.
So, guys, we have our last god. It's black green. It's pooping out death touch snake enchantment creature tokens, which actually it seems like so far some of the previews we've had actually will interact really interestingly with other cards that give you stuff when you put out enchantment creatures.
Constellation, the keyword constellation, which is whenever you play an enchantment, do X. And these things are enchantment. These are enchantment creatures. You get them for 2 mana. It's going to be insane. Like, this card seems really, really innocuous at first. You're like, oh, it's like, you know, it has an ability. I can't even stop my opponent's guys, like, because he'll get the 1/1, so you don't want that, et cetera, et cetera. But when you start to think about it more, first of all, you have a 3-mana god, which only Thassa qualifies for thus far. Thassa is the exact same size as a 5/5. This one is arguably easier to turn on because 7 with you know, two colors is actually easier than 5 one color.
I might be easier to turn on, actually, but that's
so,
a discussion too.
So I would say in terms of it being a creature, it's better than Thassa. Now, it loses the cool, like, on your upkeep, do this for free. You don't ever have to put any work into me ability. That sucks. But at the same time, it's got a very, very powerful, like, Thassa's unblockable ability is cool kind of when you're ahead or maybe if you're in a board stall, but this ability is extremely strong. Like Tom already pointed out, the constellation potential of any, like, we've already seen a guy who gives your opponent's team -1/-1 whenever an enchantment comes into play, and a guy that draws cards whenever an enchantment comes into play, and those two cards are black and green. So, like, right there you have pretty sick combos with just pay 2 mana to shrivel your opponent's team or 2 mana to draw a card, and you get a 1/1 death toucher out of it is, like, extremely strong. In addition to that, while the ability to, like, hit an opponent's creature might seem kind of useless because they get a 1/1, when there are cards like Whip of Erebos in the format, or people are playing my Dredge deck with Jared in it, for example, those are cards that you would more than happy give your opponent a 1/1 death touch in exchange for them not killing you, basically. So this card has a ton of utility, despite looking very simple and just, like, you know, random 5/5, and it should be a relatively strong card in Standard, I would imagine.
Are there any specific deck archetypes that are existing right now that you'd see this getting into that would be sort of a...
Absolutely. The Dredge deck I just mentioned, my deck would likely play this. It counts as a creature in all zones, even if it's not turned on. So if it's in your graveyard, it counts as a creature for Night Howler. You can find it with both Commune with the Gods and Grisly Salvage. And it lets you basically, you don't want to necessarily always shrink your Night Howlers and your Jareds and whatnot in that deck, but at some point they get to the point where they're, you know, 12-12s, and it doesn't matter that they're 12-12s. You could easily have them be 8-8s, and the game would be still over. So at that point, you can start using your excess mana to generate 1/1s, which are going to be threats on their own right, and you know, turning your graveyard into more utility, which that deck always loves, because in the late game you have a 30-card graveyard and you basically are just staring at these giant Night Howlers, and if they're not getting through, then it's almost irrelevant. So this gives you an additional use of that, and it will almost always be a 5/5 in that deck. Night Howler, Nemesis Immortals, Jared, like, are you kidding me? Jared adds 4 loyalty towards this thing, or 4 devotion towards this thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that deck it would easily have this thing turned on all the time, so you just have a 5/5 indestructible, which is pretty much good. There are going to be some times where that's going to suck if people are playing Guild or the new black 2 instant removal. Do you know what that's called, Adam? I'll look it up. I forget. It got spoiled last night by LSV.
Oh, here, I'll pull it up right here. You talk about Silence of the Believers here?
Yes.
The exile. Yeah.
Instant speed, exile a creature, so that will hit gods too. So there's going to be times where you don't necessarily want this guy active, but, I mean, you're generally going to want a 5/5 indestructible for 3 mana. That's generally a good deal. So especially when they're legendary, so you'll usually have a second one in reserve. So losing your first one isn't even necessarily the worst. Also, I will let someone else speak after this. I will point out, if you do play it in that deck, keep in mind that the new legend rule allows you to play a second one just to get an extra creature in your graveyard if you need it for Night Howler effects or whatever, and you could just sacrifice the one you play or the one you didn't play to untap and to get a kind of get a vigilant effect. But in either case, you can. That's always a way to get a creature out of your hand in that deck. It's just pay 3, and you're effectively discarding an extra god. So, but yeah, that's probably the number one deck for it, and then we'll probably see all kinds of new weird decks that want to play this too.
And Adam, I'm guessing for you, where you've talked about some of the other gods for being in, you know, great for commander, this one also seems nice where you can start messing with other people's graveyards. Always seems to be a pretty strong commander.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's the strongest commander. Its ability kind of doesn't doesn't give you a lot of traction when you need to deal 40 damage to three or four other players. What I really like about this is not necessarily as a commander, but if you look at it as a generally indestructible enchantment. For three mana, it doesn't tie up a lot of mana to get it out there. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty cheap in commander. If you randomly turn it on, a 5/5 indestructible isn't small for sure. So taking a couple swings with it, it's going to feel good. But the ability to get some redundancy on Night Soil, that Necrogenesis type effect, is really, really handy. Living End, Living Death. There's a whole suite of black cards that just get stuff back from the graveyard, recycle things. And then like the Karmic Guides of the World, Revel Arcs, those combos are really powerful too. So having a nigh unkillable way of interacting with all of that, is just generally good utility. And the other advantage is that you kind of have this, I'm going to pull out some of the old school, casual strategy terminology here. It's basically also a rattlesnake card. So while you can proactively mitigate anything, any graveyard shenanigans your opponents will do, and there's a lot of that in commander, you also say, there's a Rurik Thar, but for two mana, I can put a 1/1 death touch into the way at almost any time. So the things like that to kind of put up a wall, and you don't even have to necessarily spend the mana or do it right away. You can just threaten to have it there. And it can buy you a lot of time that you maybe otherwise wouldn't get.
Right. So it seems like in general everybody's fairly excited about this card. I mean, it seems like in standard it seems to be a really good card. And Conley, you said you were in general excited about the cards we have spoiled so far.
Yeah, I thought that Born of the Gods was one of the most boring spoiler seasons of all time. With all respect to the people who were promoting the set, I thought that the card quality in general was very low. There weren't too many exciting must-haves that were like new text or anything. There was like, there was stuff. It was a set. It was Magic cards. It looked really good for Limited. I was very excited about the set for Limited. But in terms of new kind of hot cards to acquire, it just wasn't all that exciting. And if you look at the set now, boxes are very inexpensive. If you sell an entire set, it's like very cheap. The set's just not worth a lot. So it didn't have a lot of like constructed standouts. Journey to Nyx, on the other hand, while I don't necessarily know the financial value of the set, I can make assumptions, of course. The cards themselves and the mechanics are a lot more exciting to think about. Things like Strive's not the most original mechanic of all time. It's basically just multi-kicker. But at the same time, when you look at a card like, what is it? The green one. Where is it? Saison Tactics. Saison Tactics, colorless and a green. Until end of turn, any number of target... Well, until end of turn, target creature gets +1/+1 and gains tap. This creature fights another target creature. So, and then it has Strive for a green, which means for every additional green you pay, you're going to give that ability to another creature. So imagine scenarios where at the end of your opponent's turn, you spend 4 mana, give 3 of your creatures +1/+1 and the ability to fight. You kill your entire opponent's side of the board, untap with 3 dudes in play, and just go from there. Like, this is a card that like looks very, boring, limited, or whatever.
It's a green wrath, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like. It's when you're playing with Polycranos and Reaper of the Wilds and things like that. Like your guys are going to kill your opponent's guys. So like little cards like that you might just pass over at first glance. You're like, okay, this is a random combat trick for limited or whatever. It's actually a rare for a reason. That card is extremely strong, and I'm pretty excited about it, despite how simple it is. But there was all kinds of cards like that. Karanos, the blue red god. Another really exciting card. I think a Johnny's a card worth talking about, even though he's not necessarily the most powerful thing. He still has a lot of potential. Really other simple cards like the Underworld Coinsmith. I'm sure people know those other two, so I'm not going to discuss them too much. But Underworld Coinsmith, the black-white 2/2. He has Constellation when he comes into play or any other enchantment. You gain one life, and then he has the ability like black-white, pay one life. Each opponent loses one life. So that guy seems like super simple, not too exciting. But then you look at him again, you see he's a human. So now we have this black-white human synergy going on already. You see that he's basically a 2/2 with upside, free upside, which is enough right there. And then you start thinking about like potential Soul Sisters applications, like a Soul Warden effect. And all of a sudden your mind starts racing. You go, oh, this little guy that I didn't really think of before actually has a ton of use, even though he's just a random uncommon in the set. And I really like when a set has uncommons and commons that make me think and make me excited to look at it. And this one has that just because of some of its mechanics, and it has a lot of synergy required cards. Crucifix Insight, the three mana, mill your top six effectively, and you could draw three enchantments out of it. Like, that card is like insane for a common. Like, it might be good in Dredge. I don't know. I don't think so, probably, because it's three mana. But the fact that it's a three mana potential draw three, and like has a, it's a really weird card, but again, it just has potentially a lot of cool uses to it. So I just think this set has a lot of things to discuss. It's got a lot of depth to it, and it should mix up the format quite a bit. So from a constructed standpoint, I'm pretty excited to look at the cards.
Yeah, and for my side, it's kind of more of a casual player. There's a couple ones I thought jumped out as, you know, it seems like for a while Wizards was really trying to condense the creature types. In Magic, we had a lot of beasts, elves, and all of a sudden we have a random blue. We actually have a couple. We have Sigild Starfish. It's the pretty basic. It's a one and a blue. It's a 0/3 tap to scry, but it's actually a creature type starfish. And then the same set, we also have a Nautilus, which I thought was just oddly bizarre for a creature type.
Nautilus is sweet.
Yeah, it seems like in a past set, these would both be beasts or something like that, but I kind of like that they're now expanding the creature types again.
And there's a nymph.
Yes, we have nymphs. We have another kraken, which is always fun if you're into playing tribal. It's always nice to get more krakens. And of course, it's going to be expensive and do something crazy. But
there's a leech.
Yeah, that one's – I've heard other people talk about the art. Is this kind of
– It is kind of weird.
It's kind of gross. If you really think about it, this dude is—he's like kind of trying to stumble out of a swamp, and he's literally covered by about 1,000 leeches, including his entire face, and that is disturbing. Even though he's like a not flying nightmare,
we finally know where Tom's line is drawn. Everybody,
yeah, leeches, I'm not a, leeches on not the a face. Not a big fan of leeches on the face. I have one of the jackasses. Steve-O, is he the crazy one where he put one on his eyeball? It's just like, oh, ugh, what are you doing, buddy? No wonder
sometimes you just got to let him go and see where his mind goes, everyone. You just got to let him just get there. Go, ah, I see. And then you bring it back on track.
Yeah.
Adam.
What do you like?
Bring us back on track, please.
Adam, I'm going to serve this up because I went to the school to get things going. You're a godsend to this podcast. Segway wow. School.
That was a terrible segue, and the card is not even excited to talking about.
Segwayschool.com. It's my new site. Thank you.
Actually, it might be a decent commander card. I don't know.
It's interesting in commander. The godsend. This is the legendary artifact equipment. It's white. Basically, it's Elspeth's spear that she gets from Heliod. That's what it looks like. But basically, its ability doesn't have the word target on it, which means like when the equipped creature blocks or becomes blocked, it bypasses hexproof and shroud, which is something that comes up, you know, pretty frequently in commander. You know, they're pretty powerful effects to have on creatures, and being able to kind of bypass that and just have that kind of choose, like, don't have to target your guy, but he still goes away. I get to choose it. You know, definitely. I mean, it kills gods, so.
I mean, is anybody else oddly excited and happy that we have a flash-based, what amounts to a Howling Mine? As an old-school player, just that seems something magical, that no longer does my opponent get the benefit first.
Well, not only that, but you can also play leave your counter magic open, and then when they don't do anything important, you end of turn it. Like, you would want to do that anyway because you want to draw a card first, but it's nice that it also works with counter magic. That card is actually decently strong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, does this have any... I'm looking at this casting cost is blue, blue, and a colorless. Does that matter that it actually has two blue from a devotion standpoint? That almost could be a benefit.
Absolutely, and it also matters, I guess, mostly for a devotion standpoint, but... it's easy enough to cast, I would say, on turn three in like formats like Modern, for example, that where it'll definitely see play in the Turbo Land, Turbo Time Walk decks. I don't know if you've seen those, but they basically take infinite turns by literally casting infinite time walks that they draw. They just run a million of them. But yeah, that deck will love it. It pitches to Force of Will if you're running any of that style of card, like Disrupting Shoal or anything. So it's got some interesting uses. It's definitely... a cool one to put Flash on that doesn't, when you read it at first glance, you're like, why does this have Flash? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then you think about it a little bit more, and you're like, oh, I see.
And do you guys think there's almost might be a cycle in this thing? Because also for Red, we have Dictate of the Gods, which is what amounts to a Flash-based Furnace of Wrath, again, for one more mana than you would have spent before.
I imagine it has to be a cycle.
Because like, we have Dictate of Trufix, a Dictate of what's the red one? Twin Gods.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get one of each. It would be interesting to speculate on what they're going to be, because they're clearly going to be relatively iconic effects or like simple, obvious color buy effects.
I want Concordant Crossroads for green. That would be fantastic.
I don't know why that one would have Flash, though. It has to make sense with Flash.
Well, I guess Furnace of Wrath makes sense, is then you could, again, try to get the benefit for yourself.
Well, not only that, but you attack, and like they're like, okay, I'll block this way, and then you're like, okay, Flash this thing out, you're dead.
Okay, green. So we have green, white, and black.
Yeah, no, I can't. Like white, like Rule of Law, maybe? That'd be interesting. Yeah, you cast on your opponent. You cast on your opponent's upkeep, so you get to like do everything first. That would make some sense, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And I guess too, just as we go to sort of the end of the previews that we have so far, as just a random casual player, Hall of Triumph. I know it's not very special, but I think as a casual player, you always like to bump just your own creatures, and now you can literally play it in any deck that you want.
Yeah, that card's sweet. I think it'd be awesome in Commander too, I assume. Yeah, it's legendary. So, keep that in mind.
So Hall of Triumph, if people haven't noticed this one, that's because usually it's way at the bottom of most spoilers, is three colorless. It's a legendary artifact, as commonly said. It's a rare. When it enters the battlefield, you choose a color. Creatures you control of that chosen color get +1/+1. There you go.
Simple, elegant, sweet.
I like it. I guess it sort of changed my opinion. So we've gone through that. There actually are, I agree with you, more interesting cards overall, just with what we have in this set, which is, you know, roughly 30 some cards, and it seems like it's gonna be a fun set.
Yeah, I also it's not even just the cards we're looking at, but it's like the direction that they're taking things and the kind of implications. Like we said, there's three Flash enchantments, and the two that they have, like the Furnace Wrath, is probably not constructed playable, but I guarantee that card is fun as hell in Commander or whatever, or casual. And like the Howling Mind definitely is constructed playable, so it'd be really interesting to see what they're doing with these, because they're clearly willing to put these into constructed playability range, and we know they're going to do something with them. The Constellation bonuses, like we're seeing, they're pushing the rates pretty hard. Like that black guy, where is he? I'll look him up. He's a 4 colors and a black, 4/6. So he's already like, yeah, Doomwing Giant. He's already like a reasonable body, 5 mana, 4/6. He's got Constellation, so when he or another enchantment enters the battlefield, all your opponent's creatures get -1/-1. So like he's a 5 mana, 4/6 that already hits your opponent's guys for 1 when he comes into play, and then you can do all kinds of crazy things to like get stacking him up to 2 or 3, and he doesn't even hurt your own creatures, so you don't have to worry about that. Like there's just a lot of little cool implications in here. Gnarled Scarhide, that 2/1/1, like that guy's really sweet. He's 2/1/1, can't block, and he has Bestow of 4. And then the bestowed creature gets +2/+1 and can't block. So you could use them in limited as like a way to get your guys through, so your opponent's guy can't block for a lethal attack. Or obviously, he's just a really sweet 2/1. Like, think about this. This is how far Magic 1-drops have come. He is a 2/1/1, no drawback. I don't have to tell you about any Jackal Pup drawback. I mean, sort of has a drawback. He just can't block. We're going to ignore that. No drawback. And then he has Bestow for 4 mana. So he's an upside. Like, that's where our 1-drops are. And he's an uncommon. It's insane. It's like Tormented Hero. Like, he comes in and play tap. You're like, oh.
Yeah, power creep, and a magic.
It's the right type of power creep, though, because these cards half the time don't see play. And when they do see play, they often see play a really sweet deck. So I'm happy to see the set. I don't know. I'm pretty excited for it.
And the art looks kind of cool. It's sort of this bizarre deformed minotaur. It just looks kind of gross. It basically has a tumor instead of one arm. I mean, that's disturbing. Well, is that what it looks like? I mean, his left side is all shriveled.
I just like that you have to comment on the art of every card before we move on.
Well, bringing to Magic. I mean, for you, Conley, don't you still enjoy the art on the cards? Or could they just literally be
blocked? Oh, I really like the set number on the Sage of Hours.
Is it a good one?
50 out of 165. So it has like a 5 on it, and then it references 5s and the +1/+1 counterpart. So it's, and then you take an extra turn. So it's like self-referential. It's a really good set number.
Yeah. But the art's kind of busy. Oh. I had to comment on the art.
Yeah.
That's apparently what I do. Adam, you've been silent. Are you just sad that we're still talking, or are you pondering some ponderous thoughts? Are you interpreting the signs?
I just love totally different cards from you guys. Like, Eros, God of Victory, the Boros God, is like a dream come true. Like, play Commander, play a deck full of haste creatures. It's just like, I don't think I could lose.
It's kind of weird, because it's almost like a bubble matrix type effect, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, Dolmen Gate and Goblin War Drums.
And yeah, I mean,
those two mate, and out comes Iroas, the God of Victory.
The giving everything like the Pyreheart Wolf, like, you know, Goblin War Drums, like it takes two guys to block it effect is already really nice. But the fact like they can't kill your creatures by blocking, it's like everything that I've ever wanted in a really aggressive red white deck.
Goblin War Drums, God, I loved that card when it was out. It's actually kind of strong.
My problem with the card for Constructor is it is a sweet card, and it will eventually certainly see play. My problem with it right now is that basically the reason that those small creature decks aren't good is because the control decks are good, and the reason the control decks are good are not because they play a bunch of guys and block your small dudes. It's because they wrath you and do all that stuff, and this guy helps you in no way against wraths and detention spheres. Like, he basically is a 4-mana play that does nothing because he'll never hit devotion, and his two abilities don't matter in those types of matchups. So even though he's a really, really sweet card, until the format gets to the point where there's a lot more mid-range and aggro that the aggro decks can kind of use this to beat up on, it's not going to see too much play.
All right. I mean, obviously, we still have a lot of time left in this preview season, and it's a good sign that we're this excited over 30-some cards that have been previewed today.
One last question for you two, because I know I like it as a designer, because I get really excited when such simplicity is able to pull off such a reaction, I guess. What do you feel about Gain 100 Life?
Oh,
for anyone that doesn't know, Johnny's ultimate is literally just has the four words, gain 100 life.
Yeah, it seems like they could, if they're going to pick a random huge number, it feels like, just go balls to wall, make 1,000.
I mean, you wanted 1,000?
Like, yeah. Wow. I feel like in most games, 100 and 1,000 are the same.
I thought you were
I think it's cool. I do like that. It seems interesting to me that the two abilities, both of its first two abilities are plus. So, you know, hopefully you're running up to that. It's a mega ability very quickly. It's all
trust me. Wizards really want you to use the gain 100 life ability a lot. Like, they definitely, that is an ability where they want you to get there on that one. But they want stories.
I feel like there's going to be something else in the set besides, was it Coinsmith it's going to let you exchange your life for some sort of other useful, you know, something else in the game, since or other asset. And for all the casual players out there, I can imagine there being a multiplayer game where people are like 400 life, because they're all sitting there playing these white green defensive decks and just ultimate. If you could do the ultimate twice, there's where you should get 1,000 life. Or if you've done it the second time, you should go.
Rings of Brighthearth. I think, I'm sure Adam will comment, but are they going to play this with a doubling season? It works with that, right? It gets
doubling season. You play a Johnny, comes in with 8, you pop it. It basically reads, you know,
5-mana gain 100 life.
5-mana gain 100 life.
It's Angel's Grace on steroids.
The thing is, Tom, is like in the world of like 60 card decks and 60 card multiplayer, like 100 life is pretty substantial. But in Commander, it's actually really not that scary. So, like, the format where I think a Johnny will see a lot more play than maybe, constructed once he kind of rotates out of standard is going to be Commander. And it's like, okay, you gain 100 life. I'm going to punch you for 21 Commander damage. You're still dead. You know, so in the long run, I don't think the 100 life is as scary as it looks. What I think is really interesting is his second ability, the plus one, and you look at the top cards and you get
Walker or creature.
Yeah, like I actually find that's a really interesting tension, because I feel like I'm almost always going to want to just keep digging for another card, especially like in Commander, or if I built my deck to take advantage of what a Johnny can do. Like, I'm always going to draw like a Voice Resurgence, or I'm going to draw, a Detention Sphere or something like that. It's going to be a really powerful card. Am I really going to want to gain 100 life, or do I just want to keep gaining card advantage?
Fair. I think the best play, obviously, is to get it to 9, blow it for 100, and then continue to. We'll blow it for 100 sounds very bad out of context.
Yes.
I did not mean that.
Yeah, this lady came up, she says, you'll blow it for 100. And I'm like, sure. We're not talking about magic, are we? Where's my pen? I'm writing down, I'll blow it for 100. That's the new quote of the podcast.
I think we know what the going rate for certain services in Seattle are these days.
Yeah, apparently Philadelphia is a much more exciting town than I ever thought.
Also, just so nobody goes and builds a deck list of this, I would like to clarify, Johnny cannot grab detention sphere because it is technically not an aura. It's just an enchantment.
Oh.
He can only obviously you meant no harm by it, but I don't want anybody to try to do that in the standard because they then hate us for it. So it only grabs auras, which obviously are things that are a subset of enchantments, but not all enchantments.
And the last thing I want to mention before we move off and turn into the next is every once in a while, Wizards, I think, does kind of cool references to either other cultures or history in their card names. And the one that I had to pull up was Ravenous Lucrocoda. It's kind of an average. It's a common. It's 3 and a green. It's a beast. Has vigilance, 2/4, and has monstrosity. But the cool thing is, barely in kind of medieval history, it is the Lucrocoda is a swift beast. Apparently lives in India. It's a composite animal that results of a mating between a hyena and a lioness, as the same size as an ass, but with a horse's head, chest, and legs like a lion, hindquarters like a stag, and cloven hooves. And clearly that is the description they sent to the art, because that is what the art looks like. So I thought that was kind of cool. Every once in a while, you actually learn a little bit from
it's
magic.
It's not a bad common either. 2/4 vigilant for 4 is like not great, but playable. But anything with monstrosity is going to be playable. So I think I will certainly be a... I imagine you would never cut one from your green deck. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. A 5/7 vigilance is a big man.
And something that you'll never want to cut from your iPad is the Magic 2015 Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Your segues are just not good, man.
Bam!
It's not good.
Bam! That segue had monstrosity, and I just did it. But sadly for me, I actually get very excited for the Duels of the Planeswalkers, because, you know, especially now that they're on iPad, it's one way that I can, for 15 minutes, play a quick game of Magic, have some fun before I go to bed. And the thing that I guess, there's some nebulous announcements in their press release that have had people really excited. I think people may be going a little bit too far. Is it's coming up for pretty much everything. Xbox One, 360, PC. Doesn't say Mac, which I thought was interesting, but Android, Kindle Fire. And the press release states, quote, new features including the ability to build customized decks and new booster packs with premium downloadable content. So everybody there got very excited about the ability to build customized decks. And I think people are assuming this is some sort of a constructed, not the limited format that they had in the 2014 version.
Seems interesting.
Yeah. So apparently, if anybody's going to PAX East, if you go to their booth, Wizards booth, it's 462. You can try it out. And you
PAX
get a
East is over by the time they've listened to this.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. No clue. So there you go. Hopefully, if you got to play it, got your pin, and you think it's cool. So there you go. And you were clearly at booth 462. Was there any other news that you guys had?
I'll see everyone. I will have seen everyone at the Grand Prix this weekend, so I guess that's also useless to talk about. we're in this awkward
spot. All you guys, you know who you are. I love
you. We're in this awkward spot where all the weekend's events we're going to be talking about before they actually happen, but the podcast is going to go up after they happen. So
yeah, you know, when you get those lemons, you make lemonade, Conley. So,
yeah.
So I have something to throw out there. So
yes,
it's
$100.
Save us.
It's not news, but I think it'll give us something maybe to talk about next week if we want to cast again. Is I think for all the
I don't know.
I think for all the listeners out there, I think it'd be really great is if you can take one of the cards that's been spoiled and tell us the most interesting thing that you see that you can do with that card.
Oh, also we admit seeing the art. Okay.
Well, the art's a different story.
Okay.
Do you mean like practical uses? Like one guy can like iron his shirt with it, or like another guy like turn it into a frisbee, or like are you talking?
I think anything, whether it's something in the game or you think you have some insult so clever and unique about some new card that we'll all laugh and want to share it. I'm just really curious, like what other people see. Like I get a lot of feedback, obviously, but you know, it's really, you know, I think it'd be really interesting to see like what you're all excited about, or what you think is like the most terrible thing that's ever been done to Magic. whatever it is.
Yeah, we're if you go back to the old days of Monday Night Magic, when we used to do the contest, my all-time favorite one is when we had people create flavor text for Sorrow's Path, because people came up with some very, very entertaining things.
Yeah, so do whatever you want. Make it about a new card or cards. Do something entertaining. We're going to call this segment Cards Are People Too. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you yell at me about my stuff.
But whatever it is, you can email your submissions to mtgpotpourri@gatheringmagic.com.
Dude, we're going to get flooded with like millions and millions of email from one sad, lonely dude.
Well, did we already get it? One email?
We did. We actually got two emails. So that,
Holy shnikes. Okay, so just so you guys know, we have to make this clear. We are in the early stages of this podcast. We're not going to get many emails right now. Tom is a big lover of reading emails. At some point in time, whether this is 6 months from now or a year from now, we're going to be getting too many emails to be able to read them all. So if you have if you have something you really, 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 really want to be read, you should send it in early on, one of these early episodes, and Tom will definitely read it.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have to say.
I'll definitely blow that for $100. So we have two emails. So I just want to say thank you to our first ever email was from Kai Temple. And he basically just said he really enjoyed the show. So I thought that was a really, round of applause for Kai.
No. Hold on, Tom. You're trying to pull a fast one on us because I actually have the email open. So I want to make sure somebody keeps you wild people in check. It actually says, I was actually crying at the last episode, which it sounds to me like sorrow. Like he was so sad. He wasted his time listening to us. He broke down in tears. Actual question to us is, who the hell is Bruce Richards?
Oh, I replied to him.
Which means he was not only sad, but confused.
Yeah, I think crying is laughing. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think if you were crying, you wouldn't keep listening to it, right?
Well, I mean, shows like Jersey Shore where it's just literally a human train that's in motion, and you just keep watching it because you can't take your eyes off of it.
That's true.
Adam might have a point because I actually did reply to Kai saying, I actually asked him, were you crying in fun or like, just moral terror? And he didn't reply. So
Did you say fun with like a period? Because he might think you're talking about crying on the band, and then he might be confused.
There's a band named Crying.
No, there's a band named Fun, but it has a period at the end of it. So that way when you Google them, you could type it in and it'll search for them. But then if you had accidentally sent it the wrong punctuation, you could have screwed this whole thing up for us, Tom.
Yeah, I think I put a question mark, but I'd have to.
How do you not know who Fun is? Jeez.
I haven't really listened to a band since They Might Be Giants. That was like the last band I can say I like honestly was into. That's a long time.
I'm going to need you to leave now. I need you to stand up and just walk away.
Well, I do listen to Barney songs. I guess I'm into a different genre now. So if you want to sing the cleanup song, I am all over that. I could karaoke that thing until 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you know what, Tom? I have Spotify.
Clean up. Everybody, everywhere. Clean up, clean up. Everybody do their share.
You know what, Tom? I have the Wiggles on my Spotify, and that's fine because when I'm away or I'm traveling and my wife wants to put on the Wiggles or my daughter wants to listen to it, great. But you know what I spend most of my time listening to? Anything but that Wiggles playlist. Anything.
But you gotta bone up so like when it comes on, nail it.
Yeah, bone up. It's been called, what do they mean? I think it meant man up, not bone up.
Tom, I
can't even bone up on stuff.
You got to bone it.
That is a well-known.
I keep calling you a veterinarian, Tom, and now I'm terrified of calling you what you may actually be because you're referring to children's songs and saying that you, end quote, bone up.
Yeah,
bone up means to study hard.
Bone up for the children, Tom. Why? Why are you boning up for the children?
We now know if you use either of Johnny's plus one abilities, you are considered boning up a Johnny because you're adding a loyalty. And then once you get him to 8, you can blow it for 100.
I'm not sure how to turn that into a podcast title, but
here's done.
Yeah.
Johnny says, bone it up and then blow it for 100.
We have contributed to our magic culture. We've added something.
So there
was another.
Whoever comes up, whoever has a blow it up for 100 shirt, I will come to you just a big old hug. The front just says, bone it up. The back says, blow it for 100.
So there was another email to kind of move on from this. This one's kind of aimed towards you, Conley. It's from Trey Barker. He goes, "Hey, fellows, I'm wondering if you guys could discuss Jund Dredge a little more. I just invested in it, and I'm wondering if my money was well spent. Thanks."
Your money was well spent. I think Jund Dredge is going to be the more resilient of the two dredge archetypes, being black-green and black-green-red. And the reason is that basically black-green-red gets to just play a lot of good creatures on their own. Plays things like Gore Clan Rampager. Let's say Boros Rampager. Gore Clan Rampager. And I like cards like Xenagos, God Revels in it. Things like that are kind of good cards on their own and don't need to interact with the graveyard at all. So I think that deck will, like, basically both dredge decks are pretty solid right now, but as time goes on, if for example, Journey into Nyx has enough cards to push the archetypes into a point where they're like tier one, must be feared type stuff, and then they start to get hated out, because they're very easy to hate out, cards like Crypt Incursion or in the format, stuff like that. Rest in peace. So once they get to start being hated out, I think the safer choice at that point would be Jund Dredge, because it is more resilient without necessarily needing the graveyard, whereas the black-green deck is kind of very much centered around the graveyard, and it would not really operate without it. Neither deck's going to be the greatest deck if people are playing Rest in Peace or anything like that, but at least Jund Dredge will still be able to get by. You'll still be able to win some matches with it, things like that. So.
It's an interesting question that, I mean, the card prices of Modern have gotten to this point where, unless you're playing a lot of events, like, you really have to invest in one deck, because you're talking at least a few hundred dollars in cards at that point.
Yeah, I've been buying a lot of Modo cards recently, and I've spent many, many dollar bills.
Which, we won't rehash it, but we talked before about how the card price eventually might become a major issue of getting people to stay in the format, or, you know, it get them into the format. Because I've been looking at, you know, putting together this Modern deck for Minneapolis, and it's just shocking. Like, Crucible of Worlds can't be very expensive. Well, I was wrong. That's a $40 card.
But at the end of the day, if you you want to be winning tournaments, you got to bone up and buy some cards.
Yeah, I just don't want to blow that $100, you know, on a play set of Crucibles of Worlds.
That's fair.
But I guess it was a little frustrating as I was, you know, looking at some cool deck archetypes. Like, oh, that looks like a fun deck to play. Well, damn it. I don't want to spend $500 today.
And Tom is a literal doctor. He makes billions of dollars a year, and he can't afford Magic Online cards, everybody.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. There's this tube that goes from the paycheck, and it ends up at the daycare. And it's just kind of this direct tube where all that money goes to daycare.
I see.
It's until you have kids, when I heard people complain about daycare costs, you're like, yeah, whatever, you know.
It sounds like your problem might be that you're not making enough money because you're actually wasting your skills being a veterinarian instead of a doctor. Mm-hmm.
But really, tell me about, how do your pets feel? I want to see somebody else.
I'm just saying, I believe Adam is on to you when he says you're a veterinarian.
Yeah. I don't think I could have been a veterinarian, because it would be – I wouldn't want to cause – obviously, you're helping the animals, but I would have a hard time, like, seeing a really injured animal. That would be tough, because they don't understand what's going on. At least a person hopefully could kind of know what you're doing and why, but like a cute little cat or something, they don't know what's going on.
Why can't you talk in that voice? Is that your little cute little cat?
That's
voice?
My sad voice. You know, sad kitty voice. Maybe I just had a stroke. All right, guys, we are veering off here. And both Kyle and I are actually flying out in the morning. So Adam, I mean, you keep us on track. Do you want to sort of do the sign out for our Twitter handles and emails? I'm doing big hand gestures right now.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind taking over the kind of like the closing and outro going forward if you guys want me to.
It's his first step towards power.
I second that motion.
Sure.
Great.
Well, it doesn't even matter what I say. I mean, yeah, quorum, yeah.
So thanks again for listening to MTG Potpourri, brought to you exclusively by GatheringMagic.com. I'm Adam Staborski, the_Stibs, STYBS on Twitter. Conley?
Oh, well, you were rolling with it. I wasn't sure about
it. I thought so too. I thought he was just going to go right through it. I thought you'd imitate our voices.
And there was no way for me to know whether it was me or Tom's time to go. Okay, but
this is what you learned in Segway school.
Yeah. So, no, in Segway school, you learn how to stand up on a gyroscope. My Twitter handle is at Conley81, Conley81. You can also check out my Twitch stream, which is twitch.com/Conley81. I'm on that occasionally. But mostly, if you want to contact me, Twitter's the place to be.
Yeah, or if you're in like the Denver area, if you just yell BJ Woods out your window, he'll probably show up.
I will stop by, give you a high five, and buy you a burger.
Wearing his trademark bone it up, blow it for 100 shirt that you can have for only $19.99. Remember when people were complaining about we didn't have enough apparel ideas?
We have so many now.
Yeah. You just have to tell us. We're
apparel ideas. Idea footed.
Ideas is bubbling out.
Do you remember how official and professional Adam sounded when he started the end of the show closing, and then we took it to this?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Kind of what we do. So,
all right, so why don't you tell us how listeners can get a hold of you?
Yes, well, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at PSGReader, and you can email me peer at mtgpopery@gatheringmagic.com. And I enjoy being brought exclusively by Gathering Magic.
Oh, we also have a MTG Potpourri Twitter as well.
Yes. I believe it's
at MTG Potpourri. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. All right.
Feel free to hit us up there, even though I do not operate that Twitter account.
I think we can all kind of all access it. So a lot of times if I post something, I put my name in parentheses. I don't know if that's the official nomenclature, but that's what I do.
I repeat, I do not access that Twitter account.
So that means I can post whatever I want about Conley, and he can't remove it.
But I can, Tom. And just a reminder for this week, at mtgpotpourri@gatheringmagic.com, choose a new card, send us an email, tell us the most ridiculous thing you can think about for one of the new cards from Journey of the Knicks. We'll pick some of our favorites, and we'll read them off next week.
And t-shirt ideas. Lots of t-shirt ideas.
This is going to be a train wreck or amazing. Probably both.
I want to hear how many ways you can get it up to 100 and you know, blow that Ajani ultimate.
Can you stop?
It only has to get to 8.
Just stop boning.
It only has to get to 8. It doesn't have to get to 100.
Oh. Well, I mean just bone up to 8.
I thought 5 was the average, right, Tom?
We're boning it up. I'm not sure.
All right.
Depends if you're talking metric or imperial system.
We're signing off for dropping the mic.
Okay. Kaboom. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. And it was and Conley, would you agree here, Dan? Was it actually a truly special episode? I think it was.
We're all going to get arrested for sexual assault. So yes, it was a special episode because it was our last one ever.
No, only Tom's going to get arrested because he's boning up for the kids. That's it.
Oh,
only
sorry.
Tom. We're fine, Conley.
That is true. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to find out if there's somewhere. There's some sort of website saying this is a commonly used colloquialism. Bone it up is at least number 2 or 3 on that.
Every time you use a Johnny, there is no minus ability. You literally have to bone it up every single time.
No matter
time.
What you do, you're boning.
You're boning it up.
So, Adam, if I make the title of the podcast Boning It Up, is that kosher? Or does that get changed?
You know what? I've got 3 days to think about it. If you're dead set on it, sell me on it. My gut says no, but my heart says yes. So I'll figure it out.
I'd say follow your gut on that one. But
all right. Good night, everybody.
Just blow it for 100. Just that I agree sounds good, just bad.
Good night, everybody.
All right, see you again.
Blow it for 100. At least everybody knows what you're talking about. Maybe, I think.
I don't think they would. I don't know about these.
No.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.